This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association and DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org. Just over the district line in Prince George's County, drivers are worried that a change in parking policies will force them out of National Harbor, the upscale mini-city and resort on the Potomac River. Drivers report they've been informed that beginning June 1st, they'll no longer be able to pay a monthly fee to park in the garage across from the National Harbor's largest hotel, the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center. Drivers fear they're being pushed out to make way for sedans or black cars, and there's talk of a contract between National Harbor and Veolia, the French transportation giant. While National Harbor didn't respond to the TaxiLink's request for comment in time for broadcast, Gaylord National did. In a written statement sent to the TaxiLink today, Gaylord said it didn't own or operate the garage across the street, nor does it believe the taxi drivers are being evicted. And in response to the TaxiLink's question about a contract with Veolia, Gaylord National wrote, quote, and I quote at length here, beginning in June, Veolia Transportation, Gaylord National's transportation vendor, will enhance their services to offer express transport, a new eco-friendly hybrid vehicle car service featuring flat rate fares to destinations throughout the Washington, D.C. region. This new fleet of vehicles will serve as a lower cost alternative to Veolia's luxury black sedan car service. Since opening 5 years ago, our guests have expressed their desires for high-quality personal transportation service with clean vehicles, courteous and knowledgeable drivers, and reasonable flat-rate fares to the area's top destinations. Express Transport is simply a direct response to this customer feedback. Continuing with Gaylord's statement, the Express Transport vehicles will, in many cases, offer a savings over traditional taxi fares. Moving forward, our guests will have the option of choosing whichever transportation service they wish to utilize, whether it be a luxury black sedan car service, an economical private car service such as Express Transport, a group shuttle, or a traditional taxi operator. This has always been the policy since we opened in 2008, and it will continue in the future. That, again, from a written statement provided to the Taxi Link by Gaylord National Management. I'd like to thank them for the prompt and thorough response. We'll post the full statement at thefightback.org. by Sunday afternoon, and we'll get driver response to it as well on next week's program. Now, drivers report that for some time they've had difficulty getting answers from National Harbor and Gaylord officials, and on Thursday, in an attempt to get answers, around 30 drivers left the garage, crossed the street, and entered the Gaylord. Hotel management, however, declined to meet with the drivers so long as a reporter was present. But Gaylord officials did agree to a small meeting this coming Tuesday, according to two driver leaders. That meeting, however, has since been canceled, according to Fishai Tesfai, who I spoke with earlier today and who we'll hear from later in the program. Emmanuel Gabriel is a driver and one of the taxi leaders at National Harbor. We spoke at the garage across the street from the Gaylord, and Gabriel and one other driver leader were able to briefly meet with Gaylord management, and I began by asking him to describe that meeting.
We just going inside to talk to the people, do we have a job next month or not, and we are allowed to park on the parking lot. For their information is they don't have nobody to tell us about the problem now, do we have a job or not. They tried to have a meeting on Tuesday, but they didn't tell us the actual time when it will be Tuesday. And they tell us they don't want nobody to come on the property with a bunch of people. The maximum they'll take is from two or three people.
And the meeting Tuesday is open to the public?
They didn't say for the public. They say only for two drivers. They are not allowed all the drivers to.
And who else? Do they say who else they're going to invite to the meeting?
They have the safety people, the county people, the hack office, and they have the harbor manager and the Gaylord manager, too.
And Veolia?
And Veolia, the transportation company.
Are you surprised that they said they weren't really aware of the situation?
No, that's how they do all the time. They didn't show us no intention. They say, oh, we'll talk. They didn't give us no hope or they didn't give us nothing. It just say like the thing you will solve.
What do you think is going to come out of the meeting Tuesday?
Maybe they'll say they'll do, maybe they'll give us another meeting after a month or 2 months, because that's how they do all these years.
What good will that do you, a meeting a month or 2 months from now? That's after June 1st.
Yeah, maybe by that time we already kicked out, we don't have no parking space and we don't have a job. And we only have all the job and maybe all of us will be unemployed.
You have a message for Gaylord Hotel?
The only thing I say for Gaylord, just please concern about the drivers and just come and talk to us, know about how we just take care of the business for the Gaylord. We've been here 24/7 the whole time when they open on 08. The only thing we said is let we work together, and we are one of the county employees. We just serve the county all the time, and we do a big improvement for the National Harbor too. And we want to make sure they just concern our issue and try to work with us.
That was Prince George's County taxi leader Emmanuel Gabriel. He's among the drivers at National Harbor who are concerned they're being forced out to make way for luxury sedans or black cars. The meeting scheduled for Tuesday has been canceled, drivers report. Later in the program, we'll play an extended interview with another National Harbor taxi leader, Fiché Tesfai. This week, Alexandria drivers watched on as City Council voted to move forward with a credit card mandate that'll provide companies, but not independent drivers, with the right to select their credit card processors. The Alexandria City Council also voted Tuesday night to set up a task force to study the controversial issue of mobility. Drivers contend that, as independent contractors, they should have the ability to freely associate with any company they choose and not be forced to stay with a company for 2 years, as the city currently requires. Speaking in the lobby of City Hall directly after the votes, Alexandria taxi leader Daniel Brahani had this to say.
We have got this far. Normally, the way they do is this. They have a reading, hearing. They pass because nobody come here. Simple for them. But now they had a hearing, a reading, hearing. We came here. They stopped it. They pushed it because they saw we're not satisfied. And again, we're here. And they couldn't come to the decision. The more we come, believe me, they will listen to us. Let's keep going. It's going to take time. It doesn't happen overnight. Keep coming. Keep coming. Whenever we ask you guys to come, keep coming. Because they don't like this. The more we are, the more comfortable they will be. Because media is there, public people on this is televised, direct. People are watching what's going on. Citizen is calling them, giving them a hard time. Why is it dysfunctional? So they will not take a decision that is very likely. They have to consider everything, not only you guys, the citizen, because they get a phone call day in, day out. So next time we ask you guys, please, keep coming. We will make this happen. Even if we don't get this, this is just a piece of cake. This is nothing, credit card. The big agenda is about the movement. Once we have movement, we can negotiate about this. We can tell them what kind of mission we want. So this is the strongest one. This is what we will need to win, which is task force to open the market. Once the market is open, we are in a good position. So don't get discouraged based on this. We sit here 2 hours, then 5 minutes they give us, let us out. Don't. Keep coming. We will win. Believe me, guys. Because this is a good group. We have how many here? 40, 30? Bring each person, bring another person. That's all we need to do, 60. Then after that, another person, 120. Case closed. They cannot reject us. Believe me, guys.
That was driver Daniel Brahani, who will be joining us later in studio. Meanwhile, in New York, a controversial vote of the Taxi and Limousine Commission scheduled for Thursday didn't happen because of driver protests, according to the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. The driver organization says the proposed measures would pass on to drivers the cost of accidents, force them to pay for an extra shift each week, and allow companies to raise leases based on credit card usage. Shortly after learning that the commission had canceled its Thursday meeting, the New York Taxi Workers Alliance sent out this robocall to their members.
Congratulations, all of the demonstrators. There is no public hearing tomorrow, Thursday, May 16th. We will keep you posted, keep in touch with the union, so we know our next action plan. But as of now, brothers and sisters, we are winning. Congratulations.
That was a phone message the New York Taxi Workers Alliance sent to its members. Meanwhile, in D.C., a TV personality is hoping to get himself an Emmy Award for his sting operations against taxi drivers. Russ Potosik of Channel 9 is generating a lot of publicity for himself by portraying DC taxis as terrible. Here's the opening to Potosik's latest piece.
Tonight, our undercover cameras put you on the street as we document some taxi drivers stranding people with disabilities on the curb. Investigative reporter Russ Potosik joins us with some troubling images of a taxi system that is getting away with breaking the rules. Russ.
Well, Leslie, it was right here in Georgetown where our undercover operation initially identified the trouble that blacks have getting cabs in Washington. Well, we found a whole new class of people underserved, and it has nothing to do with the color of their skin.
For those
can you tell me why you passed her?
Ready.
Everybody hail.
That guy definitely passed me.
We can't tell when we're being denied access.
Why didn't you stop for that lady with the service dog? You went right by her.
No, I thought she was waiting for somebody else.
Watch for yourself on the left side of your screen.
he had just passed this blind woman flagging cabs with her service dog nearby.
Why didn't you stop for that lady with the service dog? You went right by her.
No, I thought she was waiting for somebody else.
She had her hand out. She was hailing a cab.
Natalie Jackson said the moment was a victory for those
who... Can you tell me why you passed her?
That was the opening to Russ Potosik's most recent sting operation against taxi drivers. Here's how the piece concludes.
Boy, Russ, this is really incredible stuff. How do the numbers compare to your investigation when you took a look at black men in particular who couldn't get a cab?
Well, in our test, 25% of cabs went right by the black passenger in favor of the white passenger 100 feet down the road. In this case, it was about half and half. So in this case, twice as bad.
And I know you were saying it last time that the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission was saying that it relies on passengers to complain in order to hold those drivers accountable. We know that you're going to be holding the cab companies accountable. Any apologies tonight from them?
Well, we are getting apologies, but, you know, one response may disturb you. Silver Cab actually defended not picking up people in wheelchairs, saying their large four-door sedans can't collapse those wheelchairs and put them in the trunk, even though we watched compact cars do that. Now, let me show you something. The wheelchair that our passenger was using weighs about 20 pounds, and it breaks down to a size about like this carry-on. Fits in any trunk.
Sounds like there needs to be some greater training out there. And Russ, before I let you go, let me just congratulate you on your Emmy nomination tonight for your work on taxicab discrimination.
Also on this, yeah.
And we know that you're going to stay on top of this.
That was Russ Potosik's latest. The Channel 9 TV personality is hoping to get himself an Emmy Award for his taxi sting operations. This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. You can catch the Taxi Link each Saturday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on WST, 1120 a.m. And you can find all the past shows online at thefightback.org. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tony Norman, chairman of DC Advisory Neighborhood Commission 1B, which includes parts of U Street, 9th Street, and Georgia Ave. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's start where we ended with headlines with Russ Potosik and these never-ending sting operations that he's on as he seeks an Emmy Award for his reporting, such as it is.
Well, first of all, I think it gives the false impression, depending on when you do these type of, quote, sting operations. It depends on where you are, and it's like when the camera person do an interview. I mean, he says three people are against whatever it is. He goes to the area where three people are against it. So it all depends on how you interview and where you take the shot. I mean, they start off with a preconceived notion. I mean, it's still part of the general design of starting off that the problem with the taxicab industry is the taxicab drivers, their discrimination, their treatment of as second-class citizens. And I think he's just reinforcing that and giving the public the false impression as to exactly how cab drivers are picking up passengers.
And if drivers are injured and drivers are getting injured frequently, robbed frequently, so much so we've had Commissioner Stanley Tapps got on, longtime driver and the member of the DC Taxi Cab Commission. He says it's so bad that when drivers are robbed, they don't even necessarily call the police because they'll be robbed of their money and then robbed of their time waiting for an investigation that in all likelihood is not going to go anywhere. But this doesn't really make it. This somehow isn't juicy enough for Russ Potosik.
Yes, it shows that it's just a part of the story is not getting the total part of the story about particularly when it relates to picking up, as he say, not picking up blacks. I mean, it's a consideration that cab drivers take in consideration, common sense. And I'm not saying they shouldn't pick up blacks, but I'm just saying it's disproportionate. And he's exaggerating to get his, his Emmy nomination.
Yep.
And the same thing he's doing here with so-called not picking up handicap. I mean, if you were to actually be fair, they're probably out of 10 drivers, if you have an handicap person, maybe 7 or 8 of those drivers pick up handicap and one or two may not. He focused on that one or two.
And it's a serious issue, and it's one that, you know, drivers and if the Taxi Cab Commission could play a real role here by working with driver groups to make progress on the issue, I don't think that's, you know, Russ Potosik's agenda. Actually, if you watch the whole piece, and we'll link to it at thefightback.org, he goes after one driver who drops the person off at the right place, but the wrong entrance, and says this is just, you know, he goes off on the driver, and So anyway, he's on his way to he's doing his best to get an Emmy, and I wish him all the best at that. I wanted to turn to National Harbor and the situation there. We played a clip, and we're going to play an extended interview with one of the driver leaders there. And drivers, Tony Norman, are concerned that they're being pushed out to make way for luxury sedans. And it's interesting to I spent a little time there with drivers. They are able to, at least until June 1st, gather on the third floor of a garage, a parking garage, which is directly across the street from the Gaylord National, this massive convention center, hotel, resort. And if a hotel guest wants a ride, they whistle at the driver and they come through. But right in front of the hotel are all the luxury sedans. And what drivers say is they get the disproportionate share of the rides, and they feel it's going to be even more so June 1st. They're very fearful that they're being pushed out. And we read pretty extensively a written statement from Gaylord National, saying they are moving to Veolia and they are moving to a car service that is going to be competitive. They say even beating out taxi prices at some time. But I wanted to get your comments on what's taking place at National Harbor. There was a lot of public investment in this entity, and yet this could cost Prince George's residents and drivers jobs.
Yeah, that's a very serious situation. I think it's a legal concept called tying agreements. I think they need to look into that, the hotel's arrangement with these limousine service and the private companies that are creating the black cars. I think clearly what you see is they're trying to squeeze out the cab driver. I mean, what they're doing indirectly is illegal. They're trying to make it so a cab driver can't, if he can't come through and park to pick up passengers, then if he gets a ticket and they drive him away, and if he can't park, or they make it so expensive he can't park, then he can't afford to even be in that area. So it's an indirect attempt to drive away the regular taxi cab drivers and in favor of the black cars and the limousines. Clearly. And then each person, they're playing the shell game. I mean, I noticed the hotel is saying that we have no control over the parking garage, but I'm sure they're all tied in with the same business arrangement. If the parking garage is going to make it strongly inconvenient for the cab drivers to park, then clearly they can't come to the hotel because they have nowhere to park and they can't stand and they can't drive around. So what it's basically doing is squeezing out the cab driver. And I think what they need to do, the cab drivers need to get together, film all of this, document all of this, because I think they have a legitimate legal case here with the hotels, the garage. They're all working together to basically squeeze out the regular cab from coming to that the National Harbor.
And next week on the taxi, and we'll get driver response to the statement. Again, I appreciate Gaylord National providing a prompt and thorough response. It helps to clarify what's taking place and allows drivers to be clear. Because for a lot of time, drivers have just not been able to get basic answers to questions. And also, at the end of this show, we're going to play an extended interview with Fiché Tesfaye, who discussed the situation there. He's one of the driver leaders at National Harbor. Tony Norman, I wanted to turn to go back to D.C. for a second. And Friday, the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission put out a press release which reads in part, "The Taxi Cab Commission has indefinitely suspended the privilege of operating a taxi cab for two drivers, although they weren't driving at the time of the incident. The incident began when the drivers had their vehicles blocking a gas pump and refused to move. The victim used his cell phone to record the drivers, which led to their pushing and shoving the victim and grabbing his cell phone. A police officer responded, and the victim was treated by an ambulance summoned to the scene." Continuing with the press release from the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission, "The behavior of these drivers is intolerable," said Commission Chairman Ron Linton. "The commission intends to use its statutory authority to suspend and possibly revoke the license of drivers who engage in behavior that threatens the safety of passengers in D.C. taxis or the public at large." It concludes by saying all drivers have the opportunity to challenge immediate suspensions at the Office of Administrative Hearings. Tony Norman, these drivers have been convicted of nothing.
Yes, I think it's an overreaction on the commission part. Once again, it starts off from the premise that the problem with the taxicab industry and other problems is the taxicab drivers. I mean, they basically treat them like second-class citizens. I think that, once again, the drivers have to stand up and challenge these things when they happen, challenge when they institute these regulations and this discriminatory enforcement activity. I think it's Linton has a habit of overreacting, particularly when it relates to one or two incidents with taxi cab drivers, and coming out with overreaching policies and punishments that, even though you may have one or two drivers that may slip up, I mean, he comes after the whole taxi cab drivers. So it's just his entire perspective. And once again, we need to stay on top of the city administrator and the mayor that appoints this person. It's a matter of the philosophy and perspective of how the commission and the chairman of the commission treat taxi cab drivers.
I mean, he writes his facts, but there's two sides to a story, but he really puts out one, and then based on that has suspended two drivers. Switching, we're on broadcasting on one station, WST 1120 AM, but I wanted to talk about briefly another radio station, Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM. Tony Norman, where both of us serve as board members, and this coming Friday, as we did yesterday, we'll be pitching on air to help the station. It's a listener-sponsored station. It's non-corporate, non-commercial, so it gets its money from listeners. And we'll be on between 9 and 10 a.m. next Friday. But a word or two about WPFW.
Yes, WPFW. I serve as chair of the board of WPFW. I'm now on the national board of Pacifica, which is also part of the WPFW family. We'll be on the air this Friday. We want to air this last Friday, pitching for the station. Taxi cab drivers are very familiar. We encourage the drivers to become members, and now we're encouraging you, to those who haven't become members, to come in, and it's only $35 a year. You call in and become a member or make a donation. There may even be an incentive to make a donation. But we're challenging drivers to stand up to the plate, because WPFW has covered the issues here in Washington, D.C. They have a much wider range. We can reach a large number of people to educate and raise the consciousness about taxi cab drivers. And you have a very friendly environment with WPFW. So we're encouraging cab drivers to, because the station is moving to a new location, and now is the time to support the station, just as the station has supported drivers over the last year.
As we did last Friday, this coming Friday, we get to pitch a bit with Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, which is my favorite news program, democracynow.org. We're going to take a quick break, unless you have anything else you wanted to add, Tony Norman?
Other than, once again, it's very important to support the WPFW, because WPFW will be doing major things for taxi cab drivers in its entire region. It reaches out in Alexandria, Maryland, all of the areas, and it goes. It's a very large range to reach a large audience to educate the people upon all of the issues affecting taxi cab drivers in this entire region.
Let me also say it's important that drivers support the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, as well as Tenants and Workers United. We're going to be hearing from Daniel Barhani shortly. You know, SBA, the Small Business Association, Tony and I are volunteers. We come in and volunteer to host, and are happy to do so, love to do so. But to pay for the airtime, that requires drivers contributing, and that the Small Business Association pays for this airtime. It's among the things that the SBA does. And without drivers getting together, organizing, then we see the media running wild on drivers. We see councils taking votes, and we'll hear from Daniel Barhani about how drivers have been left out in Alexandria in so many jurisdictions. So without organizations, it's a difficult fight, as we see at National Harbor and Prince George's County. So I encourage drivers, DC drivers, to support SBA and other drivers to support their organizations that are working on their behalf. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be joined in studio by Daniel Barhani. So stay tuned.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Stand up.
Yes, that's Bob Marley. Get up, stand up. This is the Taxi Link brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with Tony Norman. And just a couple announcements before we turn to Daniel Brahani. The Amharic Phone Conference, the Small Business Association, as I mentioned, provides the support for this program. And also, this is from 7 to 8 p.m. and then beginning at 8:30 p.m. The conversation continues for those drivers who speak Amharic. Beginning at 8:30, the SBA hosts a teleconference, and you can call in. I'll give the number out twice by dialing 712-432-3100. Again, that's 712-432-3100, and the code you enter is 140465. The code is 140465. If you speak Amharic, do check that out. Also wanted to let drivers know that according to the DC Taxi Cab Commission website, there's a special meeting coming up this Friday, May 24th. Details were not available last night when I checked, but again, a special meeting of the DC Taxi Cab Commission this coming Friday, excuse me, May 24th. And a number of drivers have reported that the signal is difficult in some areas, so you can bypass that by dialing in to listen live on your phone. And the number to do that, this is to listen to this program 7 to 8 p.m., and we're going to go a little past 8 p.m., live on your phone, and the signal is difficult in some areas, but it's clear over the phone, and I'll give that number out twice. It's 832-225-5330. Again, to listen live over your phone, 832-225-5330. Yes, this is the Taxi Link, and we're joined in studio by Alexandria Taxi Leader Daniel Brahani. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to begin with this issue of mobility. It was interesting to listen to the Alexandria City Council members on Tuesday. They spent a good bit of time discussing mobility and even voted to set up a task force to study the issue, yet they never really explained what exactly it is and what's at stake for drivers. So, Daniel Brahani, can you really just lay out and define for listeners what mobility is and its significance for drivers?
All right. If I can give a brief history of mobility, if I can go back to 2002-2003-2005, when the code was written, mobility was basically for driver to move from one company to another company annually, which means every year you can move from one company to another company. So if you are basically working for company X, and if you are not satisfied with the package they've given you, you'll be able to move to another company the following year. That's the rule that was amended around 2002 to 2005. But with time, company have gone behind the door and changed the rule that was written then. Little by little, they put a loophole on the code where the code looks totally different right now. So at the moment, they changed the freedom mobility to move from one company to another company from 1 year to 2 years. On top of that, even if you wait to transfer to another company within 2 years, you have to fulfill some of the requirement the city put in, which is impossible to do beside one or two company. So people that is working for that particular company can technically not transfer to another company, regardless what the company charging you or unsatisfied you are with the company service they provide. So that's what they are talking about, mobility. And driver, when the abuse have got harder and harder, and part of it is that the stand do have gone up, and the surcharge is being added within a short period of time. We're talking about from $0 to $60 a month and continue adding more and more. So we got tired and want to move to other company who can give us a better package, but we can't because of this loophole that is put in the code. So that's what we are talking about as far as mobility. For us to go back to the old code that we had where driver can transfer annually, not 2 years, and on top of it, even if you wait 2 years, the loophole that is put in their code to be removed. That's basically what we're fighting for at the moment.
So I'm confused. Are Alexandria drivers independent contractors or not? I mean, do you own your own cab?
Definitely. Just to give you a loophole understanding about Alexandria cab, Alexandria is unique. Actually, many county in the country was using Alexandria's code as a role model because all the drivers in the city of Alexandria are independent contractor. Company doesn't own any cars, period. The company are basically a dispatch company. So therefore, every driver are independent contractor. And as independent contractor, you have right to move for one company to another company. If I can give a better explanation, if you work for a giant, if you are not satisfied for giant, working in giant, you should be able to work in Safeway or Harris Teeter. And same goes here. We have six companies with the same operation permit, City of Alexandria, and driver being chosen. The driver have been told who to work for by the city council member. So we want to take it back where driver can choose to work for the company they are pleased to work with or they are satisfied to work with.
What's the impact on drivers of this lack of mobility, which seems like it should be a basic right?
Yeah, the impact that we have right now is that the company are taking advantage because, like I said, when the code was rewritten around 2003 and 5, and our attorney that's helping us out, Aurora Vasquez, an intelligent woman, she actually helped out to set up the code around that time. And to protect company and driver, the code was written very carefully to benefit everybody. One particular rule that was put in there was the company should be able to give every driver 30 days notice before they change their stand due or any fee they add into it. But when they put that code, addition to that, it was for driver where they had an option to move. So when a company increased their stand due by giving you 30 days notice, you had an option to move. But now the movement have been hold on. So driver cannot move, but the 30-day notice still exists. So a company technically can chase you away by continue and putting the stand due up anytime they want, as long as they give you 30 days notice. And if you don't pay that amount of money, you technically are out of job. So that's where we are at the moment, and we want to take it back where it used to be, where we will have a choice to move, and therefore we will be in a position to negotiate with company as far as the standard they are charging us or additional fee they're putting on our weekly base.
That's the voice of Daniel Barhani, a taxi leader in Alexandria. Tony Norman.
Yeah, I just want to say from a legal perspective, it sounds troubling the way the companies are executing and the way the statute is written. I don't know if you all have sought any legal recourse on some of that. There are some civil liberty unions that can represent taxi cab drivers because it sounds like those are restrictive options of moving. You don't really have that option of freely moving from company to company. It may seem like it, like you have it, but you don't have it because of the way either the statute is being executed upon or in perhaps even the way the statute is written. But in order to stop a lot of this, some of this guy has to be challenged. I mean, there are many laws that are questionable, but they go on with it. And there are many practices that are questionable. But if nobody ever challenged it in court, then they continue to do it. So I would stress that the drivers ought to look into challenging some of these issues about their right of moving from company to company.
And I know that and this is actually the clip we're going to turn to now, as a council member, Justin Wilson, talking about how some of these issues need to be worked out in court. And I know that drivers are working with Aurora Vasquez and Tenants and Workers United. And like yourself, Tony Norman, Aurora is an attorney and is, as Daniel pointed out, helped to write some of these regulations and has some serious concerns with how they're being interpreted. In fact, there's a very serious concern about whether drivers can or can't leave their company. I wanted to turn to a clip from the Alexandria City Council on Tuesday. In addition to voting to approve a credit card mandate, which we'll talk about momentarily, City Council also voted to establish a task force to look at the issue of mobility or drivers' ability to move from one company to another. Here's what Councilmember Justin Wilson had to say from the dais about the task force.
It seems to me that we have a threshold legal question that we have a disagreement on both sides. And no amount of meeting on a task force is going to resolve that. There's really, really very few ways to resolve that short of going before a judge and making an action. So, it, at least as I see it, we're kind of setting ourselves up for failure if we have a proposal on the one hand, and they have a legal argument around what they believe the state code says as it relates to this transfer provision, and then we have our city attorney that has a different view of what that transfer provision means. And, whoever sits on that task force, and I think if the mayor is supporting this, he should have to sit on the task force, but whoever is sitting on the task force is going to have to is not going to be in the position to settle that. None of us are judges. And so, I think if we think there is a If we think we need to sort out that legal issue, let's find a way to sort it out. If it means going to the Attorney General and asking for a legal opinion, you know, to let them kind of settle it, that's the process for doing that. Let's let them do that. But, you know, I just don't know what we're going to do, whether it's 6 months, whether it's 6 weeks, whether it's 6 days. We're not going to be able to bridge that legal gap. And so now if
that was Alexandria City Councilmember Justin Wilson speaking from the dais directly before the vote to establish a task force to study the issue of mobility. And here's what Tenants and Workers United Director Aurora Vasquez had to say about the task force after the vote. She spoke to drivers in the lobby of City Hall.
The Richard's recommendation was that the task force run for 6 months, and actually would have been longer than 6 months. It would have ended up being around 8 months because the council is not in session in July and August. So if you go 6 months behind that, 6 months plus the 2 months they're on vacation, ends up being 8 months. What they ended up settling on is a task force that will conclude by the end of October. So that's about 3.5 months. The composition of the task force are the 9 seats. For those of you who I went over those seats before, cab drivers will have 1 seat at that table. The mayor appoints everybody to that task force. So there's 9 basically categories of communities who would have an interest in this, and the mayor will help appoint 1 person for each one of those categories. So actually, the task force being instituted for 4 months is not a bad thing, because it gives us a chance to clarify our position on why it's okay for you guys to be able to move every year instead of every 2 years. So it's not a bad thing. It's good that they went from 6 months, 8 months to 4 months. So that's a good thing. And we will use that time strategically to really make our position clear. Because you heard that the city attorney and some other folks were saying that our position on your right to be able to move once a year is completely opposite from what they say will happen if they give you that right. There's a state law that they're saying prevents them from doing it. Our position is that the state law does not prevent them from doing it. So we're on completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And that's what they were getting at, that there's not any middle ground right now for where you guys are and where we are.
That was Aurora Vasquez speaking to drivers at Alexandria City Hall. She's director of Tenants and Workers United, a grassroots group working with drivers in Alexandria, as well as in Arlington. Daniel Brahani, let me get your final thoughts on this issue of mobility before we look at credit cards.
Well, the movement mobility is very simple. Let the market dictate, which means the market force will determine what is best for the business. And we are 100% sure that the market force will take over instead of the city council member decide how the business should be run, because after all, taxi drivers are not stupid. They're not there just to kill time. They are there to make money. And if a company doesn't have a good package, driver will not join that company. That's very simple. Nobody is out there to work for free. And we're not out there to just kill time. We are out there to work and support our family members. So the best way to do with this issue, the mobility, is open the market, let the market detect, and the good outcome will be coming out of that. That's how simple it is. That's where we are standing, and hopefully they will agree with our proposal that we had proposed.
Where do the company stand on this?
The company, of course, for them, is a luxury. I mean, imagine you have a certain amount of number, and regardless what service you do, you would never lose your cab drivers. You just squeeze in money by doing the worst service. So for them, it's a peace of mind. I don't know how to express it, but for me, if I was in their shoes, I would be in gold mine. I don't have to do anything. I just collect money. And that's basically what they are at the position right now. They don't have to work hard to continue maintaining their business. So, of course, they are happy with this proposal that is put from the council member or the city attorney, that saying that we can move from one company to another company. So definitely the big company. So don't get me wrong. The big company, because they're already at the maximum, so they can always squeeze in money as much as they want. But the small company have an issue, of course, because they have no chance to grow, because the only way they can grow is by driver transfer to them for another company. So if the market open, the competition will be there. The small company couldn't have a chance to grow. And the big company, if they're not on their toe, then they will lose their business. So free market will be the best way to go.
Mm. Turning to credit cards, Tuesday, Alexandria City Council also voted to move forward the credit card mandate, although a number of amendments were made to the bill, so it will come up one more time for final approval. Speaking to drivers after the vote, Tenants and Workers United Director Aurora Vasquez had this to say.
It is the case that it gives cab companies the right to select your vendor, which obviously we're not okay with. And we will have to discuss strategy in terms of how we're going to respond to that. As you all know, we're at the point where we will be responding very publicly to these things, but we need to be very strategic in all of our public responses, right? Because as I've always said, public actions are some of your strongest tools, and you don't want to use them unwisely. So we will, the leadership team, we will think about the next steps when it comes to that. The language for the credit card stuff, because it was changed so significantly today, is going to come up yet again at the next legislative session. I will have to check the file and see when that date is. But it will be finalized. We thought they were going to vote on the language they had today, but since it got changed, they will not vote until the next session because they will have to vote on the new language that Councilmember Wilson just brought up today.
That was Tenants and Workers United Director Aurora Vasquez speaking to drivers after Tuesday's vote of the Alexandria City Council on mandating credit cards. Daniel Barhani, talk about this issue of credit cards and what's at stake here. You're independent contractors, but again, we're seeing it's not clear that that's the way the city sees you. So the company itself can determine credit cards. You as an independent driver don't have a right to select your vendor.
Yes. Just to give you a heads up, an independent contractor, if for some reason the city are concerned us to be independent contractor when it comes to obligation, but when it comes to benefit, we are just not employees. So that's how they treat us. So particular about this credit card issue, we are not opposing the credit card. We are for it because 21st century, and that's where technology is moving. So we're not going to inconvenience our customers. But why does the company have to choose the equipment? Because customer want to use credit card, we can provide them the credit card machine. Simple as that. And there's plenty of vendor out there now this time. We don't have to go with the most expensive because as a driver, I have to maximize my incomes. At the same time, convenient my customers. It doesn't mean that I have to use the prime equipment that is out there. I can use equipment that works as well as the prime one with a low interest rate. The company is choosing the best one that's going to convene them, and we will choose the best one with a low interest rate on. But the council member doesn't want us to do that. They want us to use the company that chooses the equipment, which is interfering with what we want. What we want is simple, that everybody should have credit card equipment, but it should be chosen by a driver. The reason we're saying choose by a driver is because in our code, it says that driver as independent contractor, like I said earlier, all the Alexandria cab driver independent contractor, they have to get their own vehicle. All the driver buy their own vehicle. They have to buy their own meter, and they have to buy their own radio. Driver does it. That's all overhead. Credit card should be part of that. Let them say that, okay, you need to have a credit card machine that is compliant PCI, which is safety. As long as we have that, it should not be an issue. But for some reason, they have no faith and no belief that the driver is going to do the right thing. Therefore, they want to endorse their companies.
Yeah, I just want to add that D.C. had some of the same similar issues. That's why, and some of that was taken to court, and some of the drivers and other companies challenged those issues, whereas the government authority is trying to set the company to use instead of setting the standards. And that's the issue that they need to do. They set the standard that there's a uniform standard that has to be conformed to and that they have to meet the standard. And you have the free market to go out and get the companies that meet those standards instead of trying to set the company or companies that are restricted to do it. This gets into monopolistic tendencies. And this was challenged in D.C. and a lot. That's why the D.C. Credit card issue was delayed, because some of that was overturned on some of these issues in court. So until you challenge a lot of this stuff, they get away with it. So once again, the government entity should set the standard, not set the company for what credit card or whatever the particular mechanism is that they're requiring to be used.
Another issue that's being faced in D.C., it's coming up, that you already experienced, is advertisements in the back of your cab. And I was just wondering if you could speak to what benefit drivers are able to accrue from having these ads and these screens go on and on and on and on and on in the back of your cab? What benefit is that to drivers?
For particular Alexander cab drivers, nothing. It's basically you buy a property. I'm just giving you a different scenario. You buy a property, you take a loan from a bank, but the bank will tell you that they're going to put an advertisement in your own house. That's what we're dealing right now. We buy our cars, and the company put an advertisement in our car, and they're making share out of that. And is that something that we're trying to change, where the advertisement, if we want to have advertisement in our cab, it should be a benefit to a driver, because the car belongs to me, doesn't belong to a company. They have nothing that come along with the overhead that we deal with. So that's something probably we need to work down the road.
Danny Bahani, any final thoughts you care to share? And we want to hear on the taxes and continue to follow your work and the Alexandria drivers. I mean, you've heard that we're also looking at what's happening at National Harbor and Prince George's County, as well as D.C. and other areas, as we see, for example, the National Taxi Workers Alliance affiliate with the AFL-CIO recently organized drivers in Austin, and they have New York and Philadelphia are talking to drivers in D.C. So we're trying to get really bring forward the voices of the activists like yourself that are doing the organizing, because too often drivers are left out in the cold. So I hope you'll continue to keep us up to date on your important work. And please, any final thoughts you care to share? And thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, final thought that I would like to pass on to all my colleagues in Alexandria is to keep working hard. And more than anything that I would think is to our legal advisor, Aurora Vasquez, and a person that has been helping us for a while, John List. And I want to give thanks to Tenet Working United. They have been superior helping us organize this movement. And we had got driver being in one place, then being all over. And I want to pass my gratitude to Tenet Working United for doing all the service they have done for us. And hopefully they can serve other cab drivers as well as they have done before. And I would advise cab drivers to build a unity, because as we have seen time and time, companies or city or counties, they believe that cab driver never put as one unit. And if we can do that, we can do a lot of work as a cab driver as unity than doing it individually. So I would advise cab driver to get together and build a unity instead of doing it individually, because individually you can never tackle them.
I just wanted to add that we're seeing some of the same issues in Alexandria and Arlington and Washington, D.C. and PG County, is how the government treats taxicab drivers. It's a matter of, because they see most of them as non-American, as foreigners, and they feel they can get away with this by treating taxicab drivers this way. That's why they need to raise the consciousness. All of the drivers need to organize to educate not just the public, but you also have to educate the public officials and the media. The media is biased about this. They feel that they can get away with all of these unfair treatments of drivers, because many of them, and even some of the passengers, they just don't feel that these drivers are Americans, and therefore we can treat them this way. And until somebody, we don't have a self-executing legal system. Somebody has to challenge the laws, challenge the actions on the government and part of the companies and the hotels. And once you challenge it, they see they can't get away with it.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, co-host of the Taxi Link. I want to thank you, Daniel Bahani, a taxi leader in Alexandria. And you gave a shout-out to John List, and we played an extended interview from last year, but we played it just very recently on the Taxi Link, and people can go to thefightback.org. John List, the founder, one of the co-founders of Tenants and Workers United, now with Virginia New Majority, and a champion for cab drivers and for many others. We're going to, in a moment, turn to an extended interview. We're going to go out past 8 o'clock. I don't know exactly when the signal cuts out, but we're just going to play the interview with the driver from National Harbor. But Tony Norman, any final thoughts you care to share before we turn to that?
Other than, once again, we see the same things. Drivers, we have to raise the consciousness. That's why we need shows like this particular show, to educate not just the driver, but the public and electric officials and the media. And that's why it's important. Once again, we beg you to support WPFW and call into the show this Friday and give a pledge so that independent media, because WPFW has constantly covered this issue about taxicab drivers in this region. So we have to support media that support you. So it's very important to call in and become a member of WPFW and support programs like this.
The Taxi Link is put together by an amazing team. The show is produced by Will Martin, engineered by Mark Taylor. I want to give a shout out to both of them. I look forward to seeing DC drivers this Friday at the Taxi Commission's special meeting. And as details become available, that I guess they'll be at the DC TC website. And also encourage drivers to tune in to the Small Business Association's phone conference, which begins just a little while from now at 8:30. And again, the number for that is 712-432-3100. And the code is 140465 for those drivers who speak Amharic. And we're just going to play this interview with the leader at National Harbor, a driver leader, and we're going to go out with that until the signal goes down. So just stay with us. We now turn to National Harbor, the upscale mini city and resort on the Potomac. Taxi drivers report that beginning June 1st, they'll no longer be able to pay a monthly fee to park in the garage directly across from National Harbor's largest hotel, Gaylord National. Drivers fear this is part of a larger effort to push them out of National Harbor to make way for sedans or black cars, and there's talk of a deal with Veolia, the French transportation giant. Directly opposite the Gaylord is the parking garage in question, and taxi drivers gather there on the third floor to await the Gaylord bellman's whistle, summoning them to pick up a hotel guest. While taxi drivers have to wait across the street in a garage hidden from hotel patrons, black cars or sedans get prime parking directly outside the hotel's front entrance. Taxi drivers used to pay $30 a month to park in the garage, but that rate suddenly doubled without notice several months ago, drivers explained. Now, starting June 1st, drivers report that they won't even be allowed to pay the $60 a month parking fee, but will instead have to pay the $3 hourly rate for the privilege of waiting hours on end to service hotel patrons. Unable to afford the high hourly rate, drivers say they will effectively be cut off from picking up fares at National Harbor. Not only may this amount to a devastating blow to National Harbor drivers who are already struggling to provide for their families, but the impact may be felt countywide. If National Harbor is effectively closed off to Prince George's County drivers, it'll make the county's metro stops already saturated with cabs even more competitive, likely leading to a drop in driver income countywide. Standing on the third floor of the parking garage, as we looked out over the beautiful National Harbor and the luxurious Gaylord National, I spoke with taxi leader Fiché Tesfai, and I began by asking him about the history of cabs at National Harbor, which opened in 2008.
Since the beginning of this National Harbor presence in this area, a group of people or individuals who own the Veolia company, they have interest to control this business from the National Harbor area. And those people, they try and get off our from this area and the whole from National Harbor area. So by doing that, they try to control the business for themselves. Now, as you said, on June 1st, they're going to kick us out from this area by canceling our parking permit and by charging us an hourly fare and giving the whole job for black cars. That's what they call them, limo or black cars, and shadows for them. And we are trying to work with them and how we can do it, but there's no way because we have to pay them like $500 every week for them, working with them and paying for them. That's kind of difficult for us.
Now explain, taxi cabs pick up anybody who puts up their hand, or if you're in the hotel, you get called. That's what a taxi is. It's a public, part of the public transportation infrastructure. A black car, as I understand it, does not just pick up anyone. It's a prearranged ride. But that doesn't appear to be what's taking place here.
Yeah, that's right. You know, in any state, if you go, taxi drivers, they pick a job anywhere, in the hotel or on the street, anywhere. And here is what's happening is they are putting black car as a cab, as a taxi cab, but they don't have any license to operate like taxi drivers. But every time we go there, they keep telling us to go out from their property. They say this is a private property. You have not a right to come here. But the limo guys, they send it. They breaking a law that the WMTCA they give them. The law, they don't have a right to pick up a job before it's pre-arranged. they are just picking up like a taxi. And what they, what they doing at this moment? A cab driver, by kicking the cab driver, controlling the business. You know? That's what they doing at this moment.
So what happens? Someone in the hotel goes down to the lobby. We see the black cars as we look out across the street, lined up. And they say, I want to go to BWI, or I want to go to Reagan, or I want to go to D.C. or Alexandria. And you'd think that they would whistle, and sometimes they do. You can hear the whistle every now and again for a taxi. But they all might also get into a black car.
Let me just tell you. Let's say if I stay in the Gaylord and come out to get transportation, the first thing I meet is the doorman. The doorman going to explain to me how they working around there. They're going to tell me, or for any passenger who wants transportation from Gaylord, they're going to tell the taxi how they are bad or where they come from. They tell them it's a ghetto taxi, it's not clean, or anything they what makes them scared. And they tell them, we have here a limo. You can take the limo. It's better than the taxi charge you. The limo is charged to go to Reagan, close to $40. Taxi cost them like $20, $20, $21. So that's how they're doing. The doorman playing the game at the front of the hotel. So basically, if a passenger wants to go to BWI or Dallas or Reagan, even DC or Alexandria, they tell them to use their car, the black car. That's what they're doing at this moment right here at the Gaylord, the National Harbor.
And now there are four other hotels at National Harbor?
Yeah, there's one, Windham, Weston, Residence Inn, and Hampton Inn, and Aleph. All these hotels, after June 1st, they're going to work with the Viola. All job goes to Viola, and the Viola drivers, they're going to pick the job from there.
How many drivers are regularly at National Harbor? Taxi cab drivers, that is.
60, 65 drivers work on this National Harbor area who determine working in this area every day they come, working every time this area they spend. Even there's a job or there's no job, waiting for a job. They stand here to serve the people in this National Harbor.
You guys know each other well?
Yeah, we know each other well. And we have a group of leaders who are controlling, and if anything happens in this area, who can just tell what's going to happen and to figure out the problem.
What will be the impact of not being able to pay a monthly fee, just $60, or it used to be just $30 until recently, right?
Yeah. Four or five months ago, it used to be $30. They doubled it without notice. Giving us a notice, they doubled it like $60, which is 100% double up. You know, in other place, in other businesses, they should let us know they're doubling. And I think it's 5%, I believe, you know, in any business, if they want to increase their fee, it's not more than 5%, I think, I believe that. But they doubled it 100% on us.
Why'd they do that?
I believe they are trying to get rid of us from this area, working in National Harbor.
And what will be the impact of not being able to pay the monthly fee? We parked around the corner, and it was $3 an hour. You got to have a huge amount of quarters.
Yeah.
So it's not cheap to park here. What will be the impact for drivers?
The impact is going to be simply you can't stand anywhere in this National Harbor. You can't work in National Harbor if you're not paying for an hour $3. And every hour is going to increase the price, not just $3. It's going to be $5, and if you stay more than two, three hours, it's going to be $11. They know that's not going to be happening for a cab driver standing and paying a taxi meter that much money. And simply, it's a sign of kicking us out from this area.
And what happens if you cruise around?
The police is going to harass us by giving a ticket, and by telling you driving slow and you need to go out from this area. Or if you're driving fast, hey, you're driving fast and giving us a ticket for that. By all means, the police is giving for us a ticket.
Now, the police harass you, but the police don't harass the black cars that are not, looks like not having prearranged rides, but having rides that they're putting members of the public into their car, which, as I understand it, is not according to law, but they don't harass them.
Yeah, the police, if you see them, the police, they don't do the law, what this law says. They're not following the law. I believe they're working for the Gaylord, just like a security person, like a security guard.
But this is Prince George's County Police. This is not private
security.
They're
wearing a uniform. They have police. They're putting their badges and everything. That's the Prince George County Police Department. But you'll see out-of-state cab coming and pick up a job. Unless the driver, they come and pick up a job. They don't enforce that law. There is a law that says any unlicensed vehicle and unlicensed driver, if they pick up a fare from anywhere in Maryland, they're supposed to fine a $1,000 fine. But they're not enforcing that law. They know we've been asking them why they're not enforcing these laws. They just keep telling us, simply, we have to deal with the Gaylord. We have to finish our problem with the Gaylord. Once we finish with the Gaylord and solve the problem, they're going to enforcing the law after that. That's how they're telling us. Until we finish that problem, they're not going to just work at the law says.
Have you tried approaching drivers here at National Harbor, the Gaylord, to talk with them and work some of these issues out?
Yep, so many times. This the past 5 years, different drivers elected by other drivers and try to talk the Gaylord and National Harbor Management, and I believe some of them, they try to talk to the Marriott manager.
Marriott runs this?
No, the Marriott run this property, but none of them, they are working with us. But they just giving us time. Oh, well, give us a minute time. Let's see what's going on this, and we'll get back to you. And they just giving us a reason just every time. But we don't see any solution.
And what about Prince George's County, the county itself? It has a role here to play. The taxi commission, whoever oversees this, what's been the response? Have you approached officials?
Okay, the closest one that we approached them is like 2-3 weeks ago. They say they don't have any information what's going on in National Harbor. And we asked them to enforce by sending inspectors, to hack inspectors, and by putting anybody who enforces the law. They say simply they don't have enough budget to put a person to work in this area. So everybody who work at the environmental department, they have another job doing another things. But there's nobody to enforce these laws for cab drivers or the other solicitation jobs in here.
And when you brought this to their attention, I mean, time is of the essence. June 1st, they are saying you can't pay a monthly fee to park in this garage. So effectively, that's going to cut drive. And then if you drive around, you get ticketed. If you go on their property, they're going to, call the police, they've said?
Yeah, that's the private property. They say that's trespassing.
So this is a crisis for drivers here. And you're saying is it the Department of Environmental Resources in Prince George's County?
Yeah.
Their response was, we don't have the resource to look into this. It's not really a top concern, I guess.
Yeah, I believe that's what they're saying for us. Because if it was the concern for them, they're going to put someone here and do something. You know, the legal team, enforcing the laws, and see what's the big issue around here. I believe they know every detail of it, but they just letting the Gaylord to do whatever they want to do in this area.
Are there any consequences for speaking out? You're talking to a reporter. There's lots of video cameras around, I'm sure. But do you have any fear? Do drivers have a fear that if you speak out and say something, there'll be consequences?
Yeah, you know, last time, you know, a couple of months ago, we did hands out flyers for guests who come in National Harbor. The Gaylord management, they attack each individual, the driver who hand out that flyers, by not giving the job for those drivers. Because what that guy did is affecting their business, like this I believe the transportation department in the Gelo, that's what those people that are doing this kind of thing for attacking drivers. You know, whenever you go there, they don't give you a job, or they tell you to go out. By the time you go out, another driver goes in and they give for that driver, and you keep spinning in there for an hour, more than an hour maybe, to get a job. So they do it on purpose, but attacking you by if you go after them.
What are the flyers that you were passing out? What did they say?
Our flyers simply is stating the fare, how much we're charging for every major area. People who come in National Harbor, they're not staying in this area. They come for meeting. After they finish their meeting, they go to maybe BWI or Reagan or Dallas Airport. Some of them, they go to DC Union Station. Some of them, they go to King Street Amtrak train station. So those are the major area we're taking the people. If it is a local meeting, people, they go to DC or in Alexandria or Arlington or here in Maryland. So we take them wherever they want to go, wherever their destination. But most of the time, the people that go to these major places.
Talk about the impact. What is it like to be a driver in Prince George's County? Talk about, is it hard to make ends meet, and what impact will these changes at National Harbor have?
It's a lot of impact, because this National Harbor holds close to 65 drivers. When it's get busy, sometimes when it's get busy, it's going to be more than 100 drivers working around here. When, like as they say, at the June 1st, if they not allow any Prince George cab driver in this area, those 100 drivers going to be out of here, and it's going to be difficult for them to make money outside in this area. And it's a big impact for a driver.
There's not a lot of business in Prince George's County, and the business there is, you already have a lot of cab drivers out there. So if you push drivers out of here, you're going to be damaging drivers throughout the county.
Yeah, throughout the county, the whole county, each and every metro station, each and every area, major area, cab drivers stand. It's going to be more cabs standing, and it's going to be more. There's no more job in there, so it's going to be hard for people to make money for days, even to cover their gas expense, anything like that.
And as it is right now, today, is it hard to make ends meet?
Yeah, you know, we've been here, some of us, we've been here since the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock. So those people, they get maybe one job since the morning now. That means, show you simply, it's hard to work in Prince George County.
And while you've, I'm a taxi cab driver standing here in the garage, across the way you get to see the hotel, while a driver may have gotten only one drive, the limos, the black cars, I guess, have been coming through and through and through.
Yeah, while we're standing here, we see them, the limo drivers, they going, even before we go out one time, we see them, they are going in and out like 3-4 times to pick a job, you know. That's how busy they get National Harbor, but we don't get job from there that much as a limo, like limo driver getting a job from there.
And just behind your head, there's a sign-in sheet, and there's also some rules that drivers here have come together to, in working, I guess, with the hotel to figure out, here are some rules we have.
Yeah.
You have the taxi cab drivers, you have rules posted here, you have, I guess, a background check to become a taxi cab driver.
Yeah.
And yet, when they get into a black car, it's not the same standards don't apply.
They don't have the same standards as a Prince George cab driver here. They have, I don't know exactly, I'm not sure what they have in there, but what we have in our, first, to become a Prince George cab driver, you have to get certified in the Prince George County, you have to give background checkup and everything. After that, after you finish, after you get your license, if you want to work at the National Harbor area, you have to obey the law, what the people already established in National Harbor. That means you have to get in a line first. You can't go through ahead of anybody to pick up a job. And after you follow that law, you can work simply like everybody working else.
Yeah. Any final thoughts you care to share? What do you hope happens June 1st?
June 1st, the day that we are afraid is going to happen, that means we're not allowed to get any job from National Harbor, and the VLI company, they're going to bring close to 300 sedans. So that means there's no job for us. 300 means it's three times more cab drivers. So all the jobs going to go for them. From that time, they're going to control this, the whole National Harbor area. All jobs going run by Viola, and the job, whoever gets the job is Viola drivers. So that's our what we're afraid.
I guess one final question. Do you have a message for Prince George's County officials? I mean, you're a Prince George's County taxi cab driver. You pay taxes. You register with the county. Do you have a message for Prince George's County officials?
Yeah, I have a message for Prince George County officials to come and look down what's really going on in this area, because they've been, most of them, they've been broken the law. We want them to enforce these laws and to see what's going on.